The following is a point of view program. Opinions expressed are those of the participants.
Welcome to In Other Words, radio by, for, and about women. Today I'm interviewing Shauna Lee about what it's like to be a woman who books shows in Missoula, Montana. How would you like to introduce yourself? What do you want people to know about you?
My name's Shauna Lee. I am the venue manager for Stage 112 and the downstairs, which we were calling the Real Lounge. I don't know. I don't know what else I want you to know about me. I guess you'll have to ask.
Well, when we were chatting before I hit record, you were saying that you grew up in this area, and so you're pretty familiar with the lay of the land, I guess. So did you want to say more about that, about where you grew up and who
Sure.
you know? And
I feel like I know everybody. I'm a third generation Montanan, second generation from Frenchtown. And my family still lives and resides and works here for the majority. My dad actually worked for the mill for 35 years. And so we've got all that connection. And then my mom has actually worked for Frenchtown School since I was 8. And we just have stayed connected throughout the years to Missoula and to Frenchtown and the surrounding areas.
You have a lot of family around too, right?
I do. My mom's one of four and my dad is one of four and lots of cousins. And everybody is kind of spread out now, but we are all, for the most part, most of us are in Missoula and Frenchtown still.
So doing a job like yours where you're so integrated into the social scene, do you think that it's important for a person who does that kind of work to have an idea about the place that they're working? Like, I would imagine that it would be a real big advantage for you, having grown up around here and having so much family here, that you would be able to really tap into what would be the most appealing for people who live around here. Is that true?
I think for sure it has to be, but I think the one thing that it's really beneficial for me with booking shows is if I need anything from production to a person to do lights to somebody that needs plexiglass from a glass company, I can call my friends and I can pretty much get anything that I need, or I can call them and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for, and they can connect me, and I can call and say, hey, this is who I am, and they're like, oh, well, we know your parents or we know your grandparents, and it's that helps. And then when bands or artists come to town, if they want to know something to do, I mean, I know that part of it well. It almost serves as a tourist guide.
I can imagine. You're such a resource. I'm racking my brain for how I can use you. I have some ideas. I know I always say that and you always laugh like that. So will you talk some about what it's like to be a woman who books shows, given that the primary gender of people in bands, at least around here, is male, and other people who book shows are also male? Is there anything in particular that's different for you being female with that job?
Well, I think in the beginning, a lot of bands, I was getting resistance. They would tend to go to the guys, which was kind of funny because they were in turn coming to me and asking if it was okay. So I kind of just sat back in the beginning and didn't push, because I think a lot with booking bands or getting people, it's a trust. You got to build trust. And so I just had to establish trust issues with people and that I was going to do right by them. And once that happened, then the walls kind of came down. And I mean, there's always going to be somebody that is just like, well, she can't do this, or, but I think that's not even so much gender specific. I think that it's just job specific. But that was about the only issue that I really ran into, is guys just like, well, I'm gonna go through the, and it was not even so much that it was a male oriented or whatever, it was that they were gonna deal with the people that they knew, which happened to primarily be men.
Why is that? Why is the musician world, at least locally, And it seems like in other places that I've lived, that's the reality too. Why is it so dominated by men?
I think because it's easier for men to pick up and tour and do their thing. And a lot of times the women have they have families and they stay home while in the beginning. And I don't know. I think that it's, I'm not really sure why that is. Men just seem to, the bands seem to stick together longer when it's men, in my opinion. There tends to not be maybe so much drama is when there's, for whatever reason, either they develop relationships or whatever, and men seem to be able to make it work, in my opinion, better in a lot of ways.
That's interesting. I wonder why, though, there aren't more women and men together in bands.
I just think from lack of putting themselves out there. I mean, even our open mics and stuff, we've got men and women coming in, and like you'll hear them talking about, oh, we should get together and play, or we should do this project. And it just never seems to come to fruition. And I don't know if people just themselves drop the ball, or if it's just something that's just not really an interest. Or I think that a lot of times the bands that I'm seeing, they've already really got something particular in mind, and they aren't willing to try other things a lot of the time. And so they're just not coming together. I don't think it's for lack of wanting. I just think it's the timing. It's always about timing, and people are busy. And I mean, that's just nature and life.
I can see that. And I am of an age where I'm freed up, which is why, you know, I've lived in Missoula since 1988, and people always say, I've never seen you before. And that's because I was home with my three children and exhausted and falling into bed at the first opportunity. And a lot of the music scene is late at night. Even the open mics, I've gone to a few of them where you used to work, and also where you work now, and they start pretty late, mm-hmm. and they go pretty late. And if you have a regular job in addition to small children, you're probably not going to want to be there. But I'm really curious about why it seems like men are and women aren't. And maybe that's changing. Maybe
I think it is changing.
Too.
Like right now, Kia and them have been doing girls teaching them how to be in bands, and they actually played the Top Hat, and Kia had all these awesome women that are in bands in Missoula or have been in bands, and they came and mentored these girls and then got their hair done and like taught them how to be rock stars essentially. And they played the Top Hat. And again, I think like Kia and Jen and Cindy Marshall and all those women that are in musical and in bands, their children are getting to an age where they can do stuff again, and their creativity is coming out with a lot of these groups and teaching the younger girls. I think a lot of it has to do with confidence and just being confident in themselves. And I think you'll see some more women start performing. Even the open mics, we tend to get more women singer-songwriters, and I'm hoping. I know there's a few girl bands that are starting to pop up.
Well, I've played the one at Stage 112 and loved it. I really loved it. It's really, really fun. The stage setup is great. The sound is fantastic. It's really fun. And there were a few women there the night that I played. You know, it's interesting that you talk about kids too, because my daughter is in a band. And they're writing songs, and they're wanting me to find them someplace to play.
Bring them into the open mic.
Yeah, I definitely will. I am curious, though, about whether you think that male bands are more well-received or people are more open to it when men are playing music versus women.
I don't think so, necessarily. In my mind, the bands that are well-received are the good bands, and it doesn't matter if it's male or female who's in it. And the ones that take their time to get to know their fans, and the ones that, I mean, when they come in and they're introducing themselves and just generally nice people, I think those are the bands that are well received. I had a band last night that had three guys and a girl, and the audience was talking to the girl while she was on stage, and their rapport was, it was great. It's just, I think it depends on a lot of the confidence level, because a lot of bands, they tend to be introverts and people don't even realize that, and they tend to be shy. And so it's just a matter of making a connection, in my opinion.
I'm just curious about why they would choose to engage her versus the males. Were those guys engaging
everybody, but she was the one that was the most responsive.
So she was just more outgoing.
Mm-hmm. It was her, and that's where I think that the shyness comes in. And I mean, she was the keyboard player, so she was closest, and they were talking to everybody, but she was the one that was. And again, it's a bar situation, and so people have been drinking, and I think the way people respond to each other is also, that has a lot to do with it as well. And I mean, the band was stone cold sober playing to some rowdy females that were dancing. They were the bridesmaids from Arizona partying down, and she was great. She handled it like a pro.
How fun. It sounds like a good time.
Most of the time it is.
So do you think that, or what do you think the impact of age is?
In what capacity?
On how popular or how well-received bands are. Do you think that there is an impact of that? And do you think that that could be gender-specific? I'm not trying to blame my lack of success in music on my age or my gender, FYI.
No, I do think that there's some bands that if they haven't made it by a certain age, that they probably aren't. And it's usually just because their lives tend to end up changing and they tend to choose different paths if their musical career hasn't been successful. But I do think that younger tend to be, in a bar situation, tend to be more successful. Because, I mean, it's your peer group. You relate to your peer group most of the time. I mean, and granted, you'll have things in common and you might think somebody's cute or funny or that they're really good, but you're going to gravitate towards your peer group.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I also, though, I am always surprised. So when I look at the future shows, say at a local brewery, it'll be next 2 months of guy bands, like
right.
Solid. And I think that a lot of what you're saying accounts for that, but it doesn't count for all of it. And
no.
I'm really curious about all
well,
that.
Well, how booking works for me is it's the people that are reaching out, though. And if for whatever reason the females aren't reaching out, whether it be they don't like the venue that is they're getting booked at, or they don't like who they're playing with, or they just, I mean, a lot of these people that are in bands, they're in school or they're working in Missoula. It's hard to make a living. A lot of them are working 2 and 3 jobs. And so to put together a show when their entire band can play or whatever. And a lot of them also have different opinions of how often they should play or when they should play. And I would like to see more of the people that have bands busting out of their comfort zone and coming and playing the open mics and going solo and not just sticking with what is going on and help generate themselves more fans. And I think it makes them better musicians to play with other people and to break out of their comfort zone and do something different.
How often do you think a band should play in Missoula in order to have a sort of name?
At least once a month. And I think more than that gets to pushing it. I think people get tired of seeing the same thing. And Missoula's a really music-oriented town. It's pretty saturated. And I mean, even our shows, it's some shows you think are going to just do awesome and there's nobody there. And the ones that you don't realize are going to do okay. And there's tons of people there. It's just, there's something to do every night of the week. And it's a pick and choose battle. And so if they play too much, then they're just, people are like, oh, I can go see them next week. I'm not going to go to that show. And so it's, I don't know, it's a catch 22. A lot of these kids, they just love playing. So they'll play it all the time, but people, they're just, they want to do something different.
So would you say that, once a month is optimal, but maybe less would be better than more?
Yeah. Like the Magpies are playing tonight and they don't like to play. They'll maybe play three times every 4 months or so in our town. They just, that's kind of limit for them. I've asked them to play a couple of times and they're like, we don't want it so close to our CD release, or, and they've got definite mindsets.
That's interesting. I had a discussion with the person I play in a band with recently, and we were doing three shows in 3 days, two mm-hmm. in the same city and then one out of town. And one of the venues, it seemed like there was the potential at least that they would be unhappy that we were doing that. And I had never considered that before.
Well, bigger shows will write like to where you can't play within a month, month and a half in the same city for touring acts. Because you run the risk of not them going to one show and not the other. With locals, and especially you guys don't play a ton, I think that it, I don't think it would hurt because you guys play not a ton. But when you start playing in your city a bunch and then you have back-to-back nights, I mean, I'd rather be the first show than the second show because you could plug your second show.
True. Wow, that's so interesting. And actually, just personally, maybe that's why I'm doing this interview, is I'm trying to collect personal advice. But I like that idea. That actually makes me feel better because I always feel like we don't play enough and don't push ourselves out there enough. And maybe it's just sort of the perfect amount for who we are and what we do.
I think that you guys, if you did back-to-back shows, because you do play sporadically and so little that, and people, I mean, I always enjoy knowing when you guys are going to go. I would probably pick my favorite of the two nights, depending on who else was on the bill.
Well, that's great. Moving on to, what is it like to be a woman who books shows other than being dismissed by the bands? Are there other ways that maybe you feel like you've had to work harder?
Not so much with booking shows, but I also have worked for the Wilma for years and did a stagehand and stuff like that. And I always felt like I had to work harder there because I wasn't as strong as the men, and it's predominantly men. I would either be me as the only female, or there might be one other, but I would definitely, I mean, I would be so sore the next day, just physically sore because I ran myself into the ground, but I wanted to be called back. And I mean, the guys are all stronger than me. I mean, and somebody, me lifting stuff, pretty much a lot of the stuff I'd have to have somebody help me just because I physically wasn't able to do it. But I mean, I'm a hard worker, and so that never really was a problem either.
Do you think there are special issues that you encounter as a woman bartender that maybe male counterparts don't have to deal with as much?
I think I can't cuss on air, but I think I get called different names than other guy bartenders. But I think anytime that you add booze to a situation, I mean, it's a volatile situation. I think that as a female bartender, you probably, I mean, there's probably a little bit more harassment than if you're a male bartender, but I mean, I'm not a male bartender, so I don't know. But I'm pretty stern. I got told I was surly by a guy, and I run a really tight ship, so I don't really experience that I think I did when I was younger a little bit more, but the nice thing about it, there's always male customers and male coworkers in the bar that if something gets out of hand that they, I've never had them not step in and help. And it's not something that I really have an issue with.
Okay. Enough of all those, what's it like to be a woman questions. I would really love to know just in general, why you chose your profession and what it's like to book shows.
I kind of have always been into doing events, and I'm a single mom. And so I've always, throughout the years, my parents would watch my son when he was younger and I would bartend. And it was a good way to make money to take care of the two of us. And I knew he was taken care of. And I always kind of did events at the bars that I worked at, whether it was Super Bowl parties or just random things. And I started going to school, or when I went back to school, I took some generals and I started taking some entertainment classes. And I just, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And my parents have always, we always had really good events and parties, and I just kind of fell into it naturally. And music is always, it was something I was never any good at myself, but I have always loved it. And throughout my years, I've suffered some depression, anxiety, and music's always kind of been a constant. And so it's kind of just been a no-brainer almost. It's definitely a passion. It just makes sense to me. I mean, I grew up in a musical household, and I like putting on shows. I like being a facilitator of fun.
That you should get a name tag that says that. It's so true. That's exactly what you do. And yeah. I, from personal experience, I find you always welcoming and supportive.
Well,
and
thank you.
I always feel comforted seeing you there. So thank you from everybody in Missoula for doing that. And are there any bands that you've worked with that have maybe come over and over that you find really inspirational or that you just absolutely love working with?
There's so many. That's hard for me.
Is there any that stand out, and why do they?
Well, they all stand out, but for different reasons, but it's mainly the members of the bands. But like Modality is a standout for me. I was doing a residency, and pretty much in the very beginnings of when I was over at the VFW, and I just gone through a real rough breakup, and they were the residency band, which meant they played every Thursday, and their music just helped me through it. And it saved me a little bit at the time. It was what I needed. They were what I needed. The kids that play in Boys, one of them worked for me, and now they all, the music community is such a helping community, and these kids, they go to bat for me all the time. And they bring it every time they play. I can't say that I've seen them play a bad show, and they're just they're my friends. Some of the other shows there's so many, the Magpies, Vera, VTO. I'm always a little surprised when somebody puts out a CD and I'm in the liner notes. Joey Running Crane. That kid has my heart. There's just too many to even list. And it's all for different reasons. Tom Helgerson and Shaw's. It's endless. The Missoula music scene we're really lucky. You guys, Blue Dream.
Thank you. Thanks, Shauna. Okay. For kids who are just starting a band and they're wanting to book themselves, what should they know about the best ways to deal with you and with bar owners and with venue owners?
First, with respect and not coming into it with a know-it-all attitude. The majority of the people over the years that I've booked because they've been nice, not because of talent, because I think it takes a lot of courage to get up there. I sure don't have it, or the talent. But I think if they don't know something, that's all they got to say. And if they show up and they don't, it isn't a bar. And if they are 21, to not get hammered. It shows a lot when people stick around and watch the other bands that they're booked with, showing the respect in that sense too. And just mainly just being good people. I mean, that's all there is really to it. And we're also pretty busy. And if we don't get back to them within 15 minutes or something, to not pester and just wait and showing support for their local music scene.
If someone contacts you and says, hey, I'm interested in doing a show, how long should they wait before they contact you again?
Well, if they contact me and I have a date available, and I mean, it's a rented venue. So if we have the date, I'll let them know right away. And I mean, they can bug me as much as they want, or not even so much bug me, but they can get a hold of me. Cause I mean, there's times where we're just busy and not able to get with it. But if they're just, the best thing to do is to EPKs, which a lot of people don't know, and just get it's an electronic press kit, and make it easy for the venue managers to, if I have to click a bunch of stuff to see what people are doing, I just need it simple. So if they send me whatever press they've got, maybe some YouTube links if they've got, or recordings, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, there's so much with technology that they can do right now. And usually we can find a fit for them. And honestly, I encourage everybody to go play open mics, because venue managers can see what kind of draw you're going to have. And I mean, if you're bringing a bunch of friends, I want to book you. If you got a bunch of people when you come in and you guys are all hanging out and having fun, I want you to come and play. And then we'll just fit it around. But there's a ton of different options.
It's really good information. And especially I'm hoping that young women who are listening will kind of integrate that into the ways that they approach shows. That information about the electronic press kit, for example, you can read tons of books about how do you set up the best press kit. You can do it through Reverb Nation or CD Baby. There's lots of different software and online options. But when you sit down to do it, your advice about making it simple, I think, is really key.
Yeah, it's I don't want to have to click on a whole bunch of buttons, and because we are busy, we need fast. And if it's the basic bios and whatever press they've got, and I mean, it doesn't have to be over the top. I mean, I want to know what I'm getting into. And then if they're just being diligent about it, that's how I tend to book shows.
What's your thought about the difficulty that exists right now for musicians to make money, let alone make a living, but to get paid for shows? Why are we in the situation we are now? And what does that mean for the future?
Merch sales pretty much seem to be where it's at. And we're in a town they're lucky enough that they really like to buy things. Unfortunately for me, the trend seems to be that house shows are coming into what people are wanting to do. And I think that has to do a lot with DUI laws and just in general. People are seeking out other things other than the bar. Spending every night of the week in the bar just isn't what a lot of people want to do. I think touring is definitely... It's also changing again with people. You'll see somebody's tour list and they've got 5 bar shows and 6 house shows or whatever. It's all changing. I think keeping and finding a niche is definitely something that bands still need to do. However they relate to their fans and friends and just being authentic in what they're doing. As far as making money, it's a catch 22 because the venues have to make money too. And so coming from a venue standpoint, we have all the overhead and it costs money to make money in a lot of ways. And the more money you make, the more you spend. And I mean, when you're touring and on the road and you got your van and you got to feed everybody and it's a hard deal. So, I mean, in a lot of situations, I honestly think people should license their music and put it out there and make money from commercials and movies and whatever that they can get their licensing on. And a lot of bands don't tend to want to do that. For whatever reason, they think it's selling out. But I think that it's money in their pocket and they're getting paid. And I think that licensing is a good way to keep making money if you're wanting to make music and be a musician.
What is it like to be a bartender at 1:30 a.m. Saturday night in downtown Missoula?
It's interesting. You see all walks of life. You deal with all kinds of emotions. Sometimes it's awesome and sometimes it's horrible and you want to go home but you want to make sure that everybody's safe. That's the key thing for me, is I want to make sure that people aren't driving, somebody's not going home with somebody that they shouldn't be going home with because they're altered. You got to be aware, you got to always be paying attention to what's going on and anticipate a lot of times before it even happens and make a judgment call what you should do. It's always different. It just kind of depends on what's going on. At 1:30, hopefully it's a last call and people are wrapping up their night and making good choices. And it's a little bit of babysitting, a little bit of being ornery. It's a smorgasbord.
Are you ever afraid to get in your car and drive home after you've seen people leave driving? I always wonder about the bartenders after a night of seeing people come and go and maybe being in other bars and then come into theirs and then have to leave, about what you think about when you're getting on the road when you're leaving.
I honestly have actually called in somebody that was too drunk to drive. I wasn't bartending. I was with another female bartender friend. And she'd come and picked me up because I had been too drunk to drive the night before. And so I had gotten a ride home and she was coming to collect me to take me to my car. And there is a person in front of us that was all over the road. And her and I kept gasping and hemming and hawing over whether we should call or not. And the last straw was they went completely over the center line and then completely back over the other side of the line. And we just called it in. And that I honestly haven't ever left the bar and been worried about somebody going to hit me or anything like that. I mean, that I can't worry about that kind of stuff. It happens all the time. I just got to pay attention to my own surroundings and be responsible for myself and also be responsible and make sure that I'm not getting people so messed up that they get behind the wheel and do something. And I think a bartender has a lot of responsibility, but I also think people need to take responsibility for themselves.
So you started to talk about loving music and that being part of your motivation to book bands. Where do you think that love of music is going to take you next?
I'd eventually like to own a venue, straight up my own somewhere. I also see it maybe taking me with putting out people's records, which I'm going to be involved with Joey Running Grain. I'm going to financially back his project for him and hopefully get to be a producer of sorts on it. And that really excites me. I like finding new music. I could see myself being a talent scout and finding music that way, and depending on, like you said, which way music tends to go and stuff. But those are all things that I really enjoy. When I just started with Stage 112 in the Real Lounge, they asked me if I wanted to just outright lease the downstairs. And I told them I'd like to revisit it in 6 months. And that's something that I definitely want to consider. It just kind of depends. My son's now 16. And it kind of depends on where his life takes him. But in a couple more years, I mean, I'm gonna be able to kind of do whatever I want within reason. So we'll see.
Do you envision the possibility of moving to a different city?
I honestly would like to move overseas and probably somewhere. I really like Europe a lot, something like that. I originally, when I first found out that I was having my child years and years and years ago, I was living in Coeur d'Alene and I had gotten a job at a discotheque in Germany and I was headed there when I found out that I was having my son. And so I stayed here. So plans got altered a little bit, but I could see something like that happening again.
Are you thinking that you would book shows being
involved
in music?
I don't know. I've worked as a booking agent and done where I book tours. And I honestly can't stand that. I don't like any aspect of booking tours at all. It's so much time on the phone and I don't envy any bands that do it themselves, I think. But that's also a catch 22 too, because that's how booking agents get paid, is they get a percentage of the bands. I don't like doing that. So I would definitely not be doing something like that. But I could see myself ultimately running another venue and doing the same thing.
What would it take for you to be able to buy your own place, let's say? I know, money.
Good credit.
Money.
It would take... That's ultimately, I think, what it would take is just the money part of it. I mean, I could always do silent investors and stuff like that, but it's going to take a good market. Like, it's in real estate, they teach you location, location, location. So that's definitely what it is. You can't just, ideally, it'd be nice to think that you could, but you see so many businesses coming and going in Missoula. They'll be here for 1 or 2 years, 3. Some of them make it 5, and then they just disappear. And it's just because you buy a business doesn't mean it's going to be successful. So
you're such an entrepreneur and are so positive about the potential of the dreams, it seems like, that you have. And what I'm wondering is, given that there are businesses in Missoula that I'll see a storefront open and be gone in 3 months, how do you maintain that level of positivity about it all?
You don't always. You just got to be realistic. And if something is working, you keep it. And if something's not, you scrap it. Like, I've always been a believer that there's not really any bad ideas. You just have to figure out how to make it into a good idea. And you got to be willing to change as either technology changes or the crowds change. I mean, each year for a venue, I mean, we see the students come in, we see them go out. And so each year the crowds, I mean, every 6 months almost, when change can be scary, but it's also a really good thing. And if you can accept and change, then I think you're going to be more successful. And you adapt. You've got to be able to adapt and not, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself and stick into one thing that you're not going to be able to change. And then your customers have to experience your change. And they're like, well, I don't get where they're coming from. You just knowing your market. And I mean, I talk to people all the time, asking, well, what would make you come here? What do you want to see happen? And I think that, I mean, that's my bread and butter, is the people. And so you got to just stick with talking to and just do the best you can. And
how has it changed even over the last 5 years? What is changing about what draws people in?
Well, what I see changing is that with the house shows and stuff, I think that when you go to a bar, you have to spend the money. When you go to a house, you can bring your own stuff and it's less money and you're still with all your friends and you're doing the idea of that you want. And I know, like, again, I touched on our DUI laws and stuff, and there's a bigger police presence in our downtown Missoula. And as the times are changing with we're getting a more transient population, and I hear people talking all the time that our crime rate is going up, and I don't necessarily know that that's true. I just know how people are receiving information is changing. When I was a kid, we didn't have Facebook and we didn't have all of this. And so it wasn't so much in our forefront or whatever. And we didn't have to deal with a lot of the stuff that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And I think that that's where times are changing.
I've only had Facebook since 2010.
The same as me.
I feel like I'm late on the scene, but that has got to change the way that it's definitely changed the way that I know about what I'm going to do. And it's got to have changed the way things are marketed. So how do you get in on that? What do you do with that?
Well, Facebook is also, it drives people, as much as they say they like it, they don't like it too. And not everybody is on Facebook. So we do marketing on Facebook and events and stuff like that, but people are changing the way that they want to receive their information. We still do print media and still do ads on the radio and flyers, and sometimes we drop the ball. Sometimes we just don't hit all the avenues that we could hit. But they just announced that there's some other social platform, which is Elo. And now, it's keeping up with the Joneses.
I got an invite to that. Did you sign up for it?
I had a band send me an invite, and I told them, because they was like, who wants an invitation? And so I sent it up, and I set it up, and I haven't written the bio or anything, and my profile picture is a picture of my feet.
I don't know if I've written a bio. I can't remember if I did. I hit the link and my mind goes blank after that, but I do know I haven't checked it since.
I haven't either. It's actually one of my favorite bands that's played in town. They're called Weeknight, and it's a couple. It's a female and a guy, and they live back east. And he's like, you want to invite, or who wants an invite? And so I said, send me one. And so he is my first friend or whatever the heck you call him. And then their band follows me, and I haven't written one thing. And I have a really weird superstition that if I'm wearing socks, they have to not match. I'm superstitious. And if I wear matching socks, I'm going to have a bad day. So it's just a picture of my mismatched socks.
Do you have other superstitions?
I do. What else? You got to lift your legs if you're riding in a car and going under an overpass. I'm petrified of being on, I don't know if it's a superstition, I'm petrified of being on bridges in a car. So I'll almost have panic attacks if I get stuck over our rivers in a car. Always ask Magic 8 Balls questions. Always have to.
What do you ask them?
Everything.
I have an app on my phone. we can do the Magic 8 Ball on the radio.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
I actually had to take that off of my phone because I was going to do it all the time. So we're going to ask. So do I just shake it?
Uh-huh. You got to ask it first.
Okay. So are we going to have a busy show tonight? You may rely on it. Thank you,
nice.
Magic 8 Ball. But I'm bad about the Magic 8 Ball because if I get the answer I don't want, I'll shake it, but I'll do it three more times because then I feel like I've balanced it out. it's just weirdness. Like, I can't make a phone call if it's like noon or 12:05, or it has to be like 12:07 or 12:19. Like, it can't be. It's just weird.
What do you feel like will happen if you make a call at 12:05?
I don't know what. Nothing's ever happened. I just don't like doing
just
it.
Anxiety.
It makes me nervous. Yeah. I'm a weirdo. I can't believe I'm telling you this on air.
And it's going to be on the radio. I think that the person that you are and overlapping with so many creative people, you have to have some eccentricities. A person would just, that just makes sense to me. Well, you would have those.
What is normal?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's not me. Don't look here. We've gone over what it's like to be a woman who books shows, what it's like to be a woman who's also a bartender, how important it is to really know the area where you're trying to run a business, especially one that's as audience focused as booking shows. We've talked about your obsession with the eight ball, how you can't make calls. We've talked about what it's like to be a bartender at 1:30. What are some of the most interesting questions people ask you as a bartender? What are things people want advice about?
Oh, man. There's a whole gamut of stuff. I don't know. I have to protect the innocent a little bit. Usually it's drink questions and straight up life advice. I mean, I get asked everything that you can think of. Some of the coolest things is one of the bands that came in. I'm some of the first to know when they're having babies. Their band just came in the other day and they're pregnant with twins. And so we got to discuss how they felt about it. And they're fairly young and a married couple, but the guy in the band was talking about how he was prepared for one, and they went in and did the ultrasound, and the ultrasound person goes, "Uh-oh." And it's something you never want to hear. And he goes, "There's two." And he goes, "Two tumors?" And they're like, "No, two babies." And he's like, it was almost like hearing that they were pregnant again. And so, I mean, they tell me everything. And so it's not even so many questions that I get asked. Usually that's, where's the ladies? Where's the guys? Weird stuff about my life that I would never disclose to customers. One of the most interesting things that I ever worked was, I worked a biker funeral, and it was one of the official gangs of Missoula, or biker gang, or whatever you want to call them. And the guys that had died, his daughter, at the end of the night, they bought a bunch of bottles of Fireball, and she climbed up on the bar and laid on the bar, and I poured Fireball on her stomach, and everybody did body shots off of her. And I mean, that was really weird. So it's all over the place.
I'm sure people ask you a lot for relationship advice. And how do you frame that? Like, where are you coming from? What's your relationship theory?
I guess it depends on who the person is. My relationship theory is that I am completely happily single, but it took a long time to get there. When I first started the first venue that I was managing, I had just gotten out of a 8.5 year relationship, and it literally crushed me. It wasn't something that I wanted to get out of. And so I try to be as honest as I can. And I, for the most part, I'm biased unless I know the parties that are involved. And I just try to answer it from a perspective of how I would want to be treated for the most part. And I mean, people ask for advice, but they don't want your advice. They need to talk to somebody and know that it's not going to go anywhere. And it's better than crying in your beer at the end of the bar. So I don't know. There's some that just come and ask all the time, and others that, I mean, it's mostly small talk. So it's like, but I just try to be as honest as I can with them. And I mean, I'll call them out if I think that they're not doing something right. And I just, what you see is what you get. What you hear is what you hear.
I just wonder about what your bias is. You said you were biased when you give relationship advice. Are you biased towards honesty?
No, I mean, if I'm biased towards the person that I'm giving it to, like if they're telling me something about somebody that I know per se. And I definitely, I mean, if somebody's doing something, I mean, I've called out cheaters, and I mean, if I think that somebody's doing, so I guess it's my own moral compass. If it's something that I don't think is right, then I'll call somebody on it. I think that people need to be nice to each other, and it's not just a surface thing. You should just genuinely be nice to people. If anybody ever wants any particular questions answered, I'd be happy to answer them. I'm the venue manager of Stage 112 in the Real Lounge at 112 Patty in Missoula. And ladies, you should definitely be playing your music and come play your open mic and just do it.
Is there a website for Stage 112 in the Real Lounge?
Mm-hmm. It's www.stage112, the numbers. So stage112.com. And we have both Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias for both the pages. And I actually co-manage with someone. So if you don't get me, you'll get a guy by the name of Charlie St. Germain. And he is essentially my male counterpart. And you can ask any questions of him as well.
Will you give the information for how a person would set themselves up to play at open mic?
We take phone calls on Mondays after 4. We're not typically open unless we have an event. So if you call after Monday at 4 at 406-207-7097, you can get signed up. And we're going to probably be starting it earlier than we have been, but right now it is 9 till midnight and you get a 20-minute slot. But we're going to be starting it earlier. And we tend to do singer-songwriters in the beginning, but if comedians or spoken word or bands, hip-hop, whatever wants to play, we'll typically do that later in the night. But we do a lot of the singer-songwriters in the beginning.
And the open mic itself is on Tuesday nights, right?
Tuesday nights, starting at 9, yep.
Yeah. So what bands do you have coming up that people are going to want to see?
We've got a ton of them coming up. We have Alien Ant Farm, Drowning Pool. We're all over the board with the shows that we have. These are some of the bigger shows. We've got, I'm really excited about our locals, Wartime Blues. They're back from Texas, and they've got a couple shows booked with us in October and November. Pretty much all over the board. We've got a lot of locals and a lot of touring bands that maybe aren't as known, but definitely we'd like to get them out there. We've got DMC from Run DMC coming, which is going to be, I'm super excited about that. And just our Halloween, this year we're doing a ton of DJs, all of our local DJs, and we'll have upstairs and downstairs, and we'll have downstairs will be just 21 plus, and upstairs they can be 18 plus, costume contests, and we'll have the Soul Candy go-go dancers, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So we're booking every day.
That sounds great. It sounds like you got quite the fall lined up. So we're lucky. We're lucky we live here.
I hope so. I hope to see everybody.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to In Other Words, Radio from a Feminist Perspective. Tonight, you've heard an interview with Shauna Lee, manager of The Real Lounge and Stage 112 in Missoula, Montana. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, please check our archive at inotherwordsradio.com. For In Other Words, I'm Ann Zalda Petrie. Good night.
Thank you.